Heavenly Father, Lord, what a joy it is today to come to your house, to join together as part of your family, to turn our hearts and our minds towards you and open ourselves to your Spirit and to worship you. And Lord, as you know, this is a high and happy Sabbath, for there is another who is going into baptism with you. And we know all heaven rejoices over this, as do we. So, Father, we ask for thy Spirit to continue to guide and to bless as we go forth. Touch my heart and my words today. May you be glorified in thy name. Amen. Can you imagine with me for a moment if someone from a distant land who had never even heard of the Bible happened to be traveling out here in the Pacific Northwest, and they were floating down the, I was going to say the Kalapuya Creek, but I don't know if it's big enough. No. The Sutherland Creek? No, we got to go a little bigger. Let's say the Umpqua River. And they're going down the Umpqua River, and as they come around a corner, they come up to an area, and they see this group of people standing by the side of the river. And then suddenly, one of them walks out into the river and meets another person standing there already. And he kind of watches them, and all of a sudden, one of them raises his hand over them, and then he takes them and he dunks them under the water and brings them up. And everyone breaks into praise. What in the world is going on here? They must think. Because then he looks at them and they go, well, they don't look dangerous, so I'm going to pull over and see what's going on. So he paddles over the shore and he comes up to them and he says, why in the world did you dunk that person under the water? It is an odd thing, isn't it? Can you imagine how strange it would seem to someone unfamiliar to baptism to witness such an event? And you know, down through Christianity and history, we find because of the inconvenience, maybe the uniqueness of this service, many denominations have discontinued baptism by immersion. And I wonder, in my own heart, is that okay with God? Is baptism an optional service to be adapted or discarded according to our preferences? What if we just don't want to go to the hassle in the first place? Those are good questions, I think, to review and to look at. So this morning, let's take a look at a couple of main points and remember our own baptismal commitment, if we have already been there. Let's take our Bibles and let's turn to Mark and find Jesus speaking. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. We find Jesus speaking and he says, he that believeth and is what? Baptized shall be saved. Can you say praise God? Yes. Let's turn over to John chapter 3 that we just read earlier, verse 5, where Jesus speaks again. And Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, that's baptism, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So what do you think? Does it sound like an optional thing? No, from the word of God, from his mouth. No, it's not, if you don't want to be kept out of the kingdom of heaven. So for some reason, God has decided that this is an experience that all who enter the kingdom of God must have. He said it pretty plainly, didn't he? Turn to Matthew 28, back before Jesus went back to heaven. He gave his disciples what we call this Great Commission. We read in Matthew 28, starting in verse 18. We find Jesus again speaking. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, this is his disciples, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded thee. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So Jesus here plainly is telling his disciples to go and teach and baptize. Now we know that baptism itself doesn't actually change us. There's nothing miraculous about the water. It's the change in your life that starts before the baptism. As you learn and as you grow and as you surrender yourself to God more fully, as he brings more light into your life, we continue on even after baptism in growing and learning. Amen? But we need to obey God's word, guided by his Spirit. For Jesus said in John 3:3, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So we have to be born again. That's an odd thought. But it's a new life. Baptism is an interesting occasion because it's actually three events in one. It's a funeral, it's the death of an old way of life. It's a birth as you come up out of the water. And it's a marriage, for you are joining Christ and his body. So we need that new life and we need that new direction as we leave our old ways behind as God has led us into a deeper understanding of his will. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, all of creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. So we find here two prerequisites for salvation. The first is that you need to believe in the gospel. Now we're talking here about a different kind of belief than what the devil has. Because remember James 2, 19 and 20 says, thou believest there is one God, and thou doest well. But the devils also believe and tremble. And wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? So we're obviously talking about a type of belief that Jesus is able to come into your heart and your life and change you, to bring that new birth in you, to make you that new creature. Satan and his fallen angels, they believe and they know who Jesus is. They served him at one time, long, long ago. So it's not just knowing about Jesus. It's not just acquiescing that, yes, he's there. It's allowing him into your heart and your life to make the change within you, to make you the new creature, to bring the Holy Spirit in and walk in the light that he wants you in. That's a living, believing faith, one that radically changes you. He wants to take away our old hearts, right? He wants to give us a living, good heart. He wants to do away with our sinful tendencies and ways. He wants us to quit finding fault with everything or criticizing others and being unforgiving or condemning or any other isms that we carry within us in our sinful nature. As he reveals it to us, he wants his Spirit living within us. Because the devils believe in the existence of God, but it makes no change in them. Dare I say, is it possible that we too could fall into that trap, to where we know of him and we believe about him, but yet we want to walk in our own way? Are we carrying something that we need to surrender? I want to challenge any of us and those online, any of us that have already agreed to walk with Christ, to re-evaluate your walk. Dig down through your files and find your baptismal certificate. Go over it and pray over it. And make sure you're connected in that living, changing walk with God. So here we have seen the two prerequisites of a belief in Jesus that changes life. The second one is the baptism as the outward demonstration or proclamation. Or we could even say it's a contract. It's a commitment between you and God and his church. You've committed yourself to obey and to follow God. Now, I have had some in times past go, well, Pastor, you know, do you really have to be baptized? What about the thief on the cross? He was never baptized, and yet Jesus promised him salvation. How do you put that together? What kind of God would God be if somebody who never had the opportunity to be baptized after his conversion and then kept him out of heaven because of it? That doesn't fit the picture of a loving God, does it? Jesus took care of that. Yes, Jesus promised the thief in paradise because Jesus knew the heart of that man in there was a true willingness and desire to follow him. He read his heart. And he knew if he had been given the opportunity, the first thing that man would have wanted to have been done was to be baptized and to follow him. Jesus reads the heart. And remember, Jesus himself, at the start of his ministry, was baptized, right? Why was he baptized? He had no need of a new walk of life. His baptism covers all those who have no opportunity and want to follow Jesus. But we're not the thief on the cross, are we? God is talking to us this morning, saying, except we be converted, changed, and be baptized, we cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. But now I want to give you a third prerequisite. If you'd like to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2, starting in verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What a wonderful promise. So we find the first prerequisite is this repentance. And remember, repentance, yes, means you're sorry for your past sins, but it also means the turning away and leaving those sins. We can be sorry for the past life we've lived, but we need to bring our sins to Jesus. And since in the fact that he is our substitute, he died in our place, he carried our sins and our guilt to the cross. We read in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's sanctification. But boy, that starts off with that big little word, if we have the free choice, if we confess our sins. So the first prerequisite is the confession to God and the repentance, the turning. And then we find the second one in Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 36. Then as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? If you remember reading back a little before, Philip spent time teaching him. And Philip said, verse 37, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so we must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you accept him as your Savior and the Lord of your life. If he's the Lord of your life, that means you accept his guidance and you walk in his power and his Spirit grows you and helps you, and that sanctification that goes on through your lifetime happens, and you have that living, loving relationship with Jesus, and it all starts with acknowledging you need him and you need to turn from your sins. So number one is we must repent and turn. Number two, you must believe. So the third prerequisite I want to give you this morning is you need to have that basic knowledge of what Jesus has commanded, what his word teaches, guided by his Holy Spirit. And we know that you don't have to know everything before you go in the baptismal tank, because how many of us here know everything? Right. We don't. But there are basic things to learn to walk with God and to follow along with him. And that's the level that we want to be. If you remember the Great Commission we read earlier in Matthew 28:19-20, said, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen. The teaching means just learning about Jesus and his teachings and his ways and opening yourself to the Holy Spirit to learn to follow his will by a thus, like Jesus said, it is written. This is our guidance. Amen? We stand on Scripture. There's no other place. And Jesus Christ, our Savior. Well, Trish has been studying and following Jesus for some time now, but recently she's learned a little bit more, and she desires a fresh start and a closer walk with Jesus. So she wants to join in baptism and to join the family of God with us here in the Sutherland Seventh-day Adventist Church. So we're just going to come up here a moment and just do a quick review of her commitment now, and then we'll vote her membership approval, subject to her baptism here in a second. But I kind of wanted to do this with Trish and review this a little bit. Not necessarily for Trish, because she's already reviewed it. But maybe you folks would like to refresh. And if you haven't been baptized, and if the Lord is talking to your hearts, either here or online, I encourage you to contact me, to call our church, to talk to me afterwards, whatever, if you would like to start on that walk to get to know Jesus better, heading into following his example in baptism. So I encourage you, don't wait. Contact us. So Trish, what a joy it is to have her up here. Amen? Let's step up a little bit. Okay, so I'm just going to read down, and she'll answer a yes or no, and I don't think there'll be any no's. But we'll still do it here. First one is, I believe there is one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a unity of three co-eternal persons.
Yes.
I accept the death of Jesus Christ on Calvary as the atoning sacrifice for my sins and believe that through faith in his shed blood, I am saved from sin and its penalty.
Yes.
I renounce the world and its sinful ways and have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, believing that God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven my sins and given me a new heart.
Yes, I do.
I accept by faith the righteousness of Christ, my intercessor in the heavenly sanctuary, and accept his promise of transforming grace and power to live a loving, Christ-centered life in my home and before the world.
Yes, I will.
I believe that the Bible is God's inspired word, the only rule of faith and practice for the Christian, and I covenant to spend time regularly in prayer and Bible study.
Yes, I will and do.
I accept the Ten Commandments as a transcript of the character of God and a revelation of his will. It's my purpose by the power of the indwelling Christ to keep this law, including the fourth commandment that requires observance of the seventh day of the week as the Sabbath of the Lord and a memorial of his creation.
Yes, most definitely. It took me 40 years to realize that.
Well, God takes us on a journey, doesn't he? Praise God. Absolutely. I look forward to the soon coming of Jesus and the blessed hope when this mortal shall put on immortality. As I prepare to meet the Lord, I will witness to his loving salvation and by life and word help others to be ready for his glorious appearing.
Yes, I will and do.
I accept the biblical teaching of spiritual gifts and believe the gift of prophecy is one of the identifying marks of the remnant church.
Yes.
I believe in the church organization. God does everything organized. Amen?
Amen, yes.
Yes. I believe my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and I will honor God by caring for it, avoiding the use of that which is harmful.
Yes, I will.
I know and understand the fundamental Bible principles as taught by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and I propose by the grace of God to fulfill his will by ordering my life in harmony with these principles.
I will and I do.
All in the Bible. And I accept the New Testament teaching of baptism by immersion and desire to be so baptized as a public expression of faith in Christ and his forgiveness of my sins.
Yes, most definitely.
Lastly, I accept and believe the Seventh-day Adventist Church is the remnant church of Bible prophecy and that people of every nation, race, and language are invited and accepted into its fellowship. And I desire to be a member of this local congregation of the world church.
Yes, I do.
So now, you've heard her. Do you, as a congregation, remember this is a marriage, open your hearts and your spiritual and your emotional resources and your friendship to Trish today?
Yes.
Do I hear a motion to accept her membership? Do I have a second? All in favor, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Opposed? It's unanimous.
Thank you.
Yes, so praise God. So I think there'll be some songs we can sing while we go back and get ready. And so we'll be back out in a few moments. Praise God that we're standing in his tank. Amen. And Trish, we've waited a little while to get together, haven't we, here?
Yes, we have.
Yes, we have. So it's a joy to be here. For sure, and to have the privilege of baptizing you. And so I just thank you for that. And Trish, now. Go ahead and grab my arm.
Yeah, that's good.
Because of what Jesus has done for you, And because you have given your life to him, and you desire to join the family of God, it is now my privilege
to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Wasn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I hope you can continue to contemplate your own walk with the Lord. Review your little commitment dedication papers too, and refresh your walk. I encourage you. And if it's new, like I said, may we help you along the way. Let us know. So we have a new family member.
Amen.
Amen. It is so wonderful to have Trish here, and so it is my joy to give you your certificate of baptism, and welcome her into the family of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
So thank you. So she's going to follow me out. You can greet her on the way out, but also, are you going to stay for the fellowship? Are you able to? I won't put her on the line. Anyway, if she stays, we can see her at the potluck, so I hope all of you can stay for that too. So praise God. Thank you, Trish. A closing scripture, Acts. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Acts 2, 47 is one of the happiest texts in Scripture. And there are many, amen? But this is wonderful. Acts 2, 47 says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people," she has your favor, amen? "And the Lord added to the church daily as should be saved." Isn't that a wonderful promise? Every time that we decide to come to him and allow him to be Lord of our life and our Savior, he adds us to his church, to his body. He's the head of the church. We are the body. And so we praise God for his goodness and look forward to the day when, for us, we can add to the church daily. We know it is around the world, so praise God for that. Amen. Deeper yet, let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, that's where we need to be, going deeper yet. Each and every day, Lord, we need to go deeper into our relationship with you, deeper into that crimson flood, that forgiving, washing power from Jesus. You promise to accept us right where we are, no matter what our history is. No matter the struggles and the pains that we have today, Lord, you take us right where we are. We thank you for that. But Lord, also, you promise not to leave us there. And as we surrender our hearts and our lives to you, you continue to grow us, each at our own pace, each in our own way, as you reveal yourself more and more. For the sole love of your life is your people that you came to save. And Father, we are so glad that Jesus came, that he gave his life for us. And today we celebrate that gift, for another has chosen to go deeper yet and to walk with you. So Lord, I praise you for Trish. I praise you for her family. I praise you for the church family we have here. And the fact that she has chosen to join with the family here and join us as we all walk together back home is so thrilling. But Father, I want this appeal also to be to all of our members already. Lord, to consider their walk and their life and they themselves to recommit to go deeper yet. So Lord, touch all of our hearts. If there are new people who are listening, Lord, I pray you would touch and guide them. Help them to connect with us that we may help point out Jesus and him crucified. For Lord, it is that gift that we praise you. Empower us as we go rejoicing today. We thank you for your love. In Christ's holy name, we pray. God's family says,
Amen.
Amen.